everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have three incredible artists joining us today, three incredible women with a great new piece that they've come to talk to us about. Joining us today, we have the co-director, Ananya Dave, the casting director and performer, Sandra Rocha, and the co-director and performer, Vittoria Giacomini. They're all here to talk to us about their new piece, The King is Dead, Long Live the King, which is part of the New York Theater Festival, and it's performing on June 12th and the 16th at the Hudson Guild Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting newyorktheaterfestival.com. We're so excited about this piece, which was put on to us by our good friend Connor Wilson, who we recently spoke to on our episode about No Exit. So this is exciting to get to see their next work. And why don't we go ahead and dive right into it? Welcome on our guests, Ananya, Sandra, Vittoria. Welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
It's so wonderful to see your bright and shiny faces today on this wonderful Sunday afternoon as we record. And I'm excited to dive into this piece, The King is Dead, Long Live the King. I feel like I should be Scar there, Long Live the King. But Sandra, why don't we start with you first? Can you tell us a little bit about what this piece is about?
Yes. Okay, so this piece basically is about a theater company in London putting on a show of King Lear. Unfortunately, an hour before our actors go on stage, both our lead and the lead and the understudy die. So we are faced to like with the situation of like, okay, what are we gonna do? We are about to go on stage. It's a sold out show. We have no one else that can play the king part. So yeah, you're basically going to see a lot of actors and the director and stage manager try to come up with a solution for this situation.
Wow, this is not the direction I thought the show was going to go. Like the minute you said that, panic filled my eyes. It's like gotta be fears of any production company. So
imagine.
I want to ask you as the co-director, how did you come upon this piece? Or if you know, what was the inspiration for the piece as well?
For me, so Connor Wilson is the writer of the play. And we did a play before this one for another theater festival. And that play did really well. It was called Death Keeps His Court. And we kind of were at the evening of the screening when we were looking at the recorded show. And he kind of came to me and he's like, you know, we got accepted at another theater festival. And we're like, oh, wow. And then he was like, but I want to show something else. You know, I don't want to do the same play again. I want to write something else, you know, something that actually resonates with the art industry in a way, because this show is a lot about the actors and the artists and their struggles and how they kind of navigate this high pressure situation, you know, right before they go on stage. And it's a very relatable piece. I think it's something that the audience would be able to kind of, if they're artists or even, you know, if they're interested in anything theater, would be able to relate and kind of join in the action. And, you know, it's really going to be an interesting journey. So I think that's how we just all came upon this piece and joined in, because it was it sounded so cool and it sounded so relatable.
That is incredible. Wow. Vittoria, I want to ask you that same question because I'm curious to know what was your journey coming upon this show?
So my journey was through like Connor and Ananya, because I worked as a stage manager in the previous show. And this time I'm being like upgraded as one of the director, and I immediately accept because I actually love theater. My mom is a theater actress, so like I always be involved in theater. And for now, I just directed like a short movie that was more in the movies environment. So for me, it was interesting to see also like the theater aspect of it. And actually, like when I read for the first time the play, it was kind of like really cool because it was different from the other one, but still like in the same way. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought that the as director, me and Ananya could have a lot of fun to put this on stage. And now, like, we're still in the rehearsal time and see the play, like, going on, like, we rehearse that. It's interesting. And I think about the theme, it's about artists as we are. And I think being an artist is incredible. But also, at the same time, you're going to hit, like, the other face that it's kind of the fame of it. Like being famous, being known, and this can be good, but also can be like bad, because you're gonna hit like the your emotion, your feeling that you want more, and sometimes how we see also, I think with the fame on social media, like social network, we see like this sometimes these people just focus on fame and work, and maybe not on like a their true feelings, like what they feel, who they are. So I think it will be like relatable for everyone, also for like audience that they're not artists or theater, like fame, but also work can a little bit like focus, like I don't know, like not being focused on our feelings and who we are.
That is a wonderful answer. Now, Sandra, I want to come back to you because you're the casting director of this piece. What was it casting this group of artists as well as developing the piece?
I think one of the first things that Connor and I did was we just sat down and kind of like broke down the characters into what he considered were like essential qualities that he was looking for. So based on that, I did the casting call and we just went around. Well, I went through everyone's material, everyone's reels, everyone's resumes, and it was very interesting. I feel like for this time, since we had something very specific in mind for pretty much all the characters, we kind of knew where we were going. But it's always this thing of just like doing the casting for a project. It's awful. I don't like it. I hate it because I'm always just like, I want everyone to get it. I want everyone to do the best performance they can because I can relate as an actor as well. And it's just like you get to see this other side of like, oh, if you just like did something different, if you just like gave yourself into the audition, then it would be so good. But I feel like we found a beautiful, beautiful, truly beautiful group of actors that I, as a performer, I'm excited to work with them. It's always like, okay, what are we going to do? So I feel like, yeah, I mean, we definitely found very giving artists and everyone's just like been super on board from the beginning. I feel with this company that we have, this production company that's been key for every project, just bringing on people that want to work and want to create and are eager to do more stuff constantly.
That is so wonderful. Victoria, I want to come to you with that same question because you're not only a performer, you're one of the co-directors. What has it been like developing the piece as we roll into the first performances?
It was hard. Like, actually, it was hard, like, looking at everyone, like, tapes, and also like a fine, like for with me casting, it's like for me it's about like my feelings, like what the performer gives me, like, and not really like using my brain. It's more like okay, I like it, like there's something, maybe I don't know what this person has, but I'm just like gonna follow my instinct and like go with this person. And I think with the most of it, like for me, it was like this. I followed my gut, and I think it worked. Also, like for some of them, like I know Connor like wrote the character, like the character for them, and it was really like interesting because it worked perfectly. Like also Sandra, she's one of the actresses, and she was in Mexico, and we were like, Sandra, you need to come back because this part is for you. Yeah, so it was interesting, and it's working. It's working really well.
That is fantastic. Ananya, you are the other co-director, so I would love to know, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from this piece?
Yeah, so a lot of this is about, you know, how the life after death of this main character is, and I think it's going to be interesting and in a thought-provoking way for the audience to think about this person who's dead coming, you know, back to life or not, you know, we don't know, but, you know, like kind of figuring out how it would be without the main lead and how the image of this person who's dead is being created by these people who are alive. And it's interesting to think, you know, what we think of people who are no longer with us, how we perceive them, how we still, you know, take their legacy forward. Do we completely ruin it, or, you know, do we keep them on a high pedestal? How we, because they can't speak anymore. So what are we saying for them? You know, something like that. So I think it's interesting to think about these things and how relationships matter so much when you're alive, and how the small things in life are actually really important, you know, like, and not just your relationship with your friends and family, but also with the people you work and the people that you associate with around you at all times. And I think by the end of the play, I hope the audiences kind of understand what we're trying to say with this piece in terms of just relationships and people and how they think and how small things matter. And, you know, like Victoria said earlier, that fame could be good or bad. And so people have ambition, but when you get to that destination that you're looking to go, was the journey worth it or not? You know? Yeah, I think that's, for me, I'm interested to see what the people say after they watch it. Yeah, and I'm excited for people to watch it, really.
That's so wonderful. My final question for this first part, I'm going to send your way, Sandra, and that is, who do you hope have access to The King is Dead, Long Live the King?
I would like, I feel like I'm going to, we talked about this a little bit before, of like how money is running in productions off of Broadway. So honestly, I would be so happy if we get to people who want to invest in projects, want to create. Like, I feel like whenever you're part of a festival, it's such a good opportunity to do networking, to connect with people that are kind of like on the same ground as you are, that have maybe the same resources. So it's not even about like getting people who have money to watch the show. It's more about like, okay, how much bigger can our community get, and who wants to work and who wants to create? So that would excite me. That would excite me if people just want to get on board with us and keep creating things that we consider have quality and have a lot of love and heart and thought put into them. But honestly, everyone is welcome to come. Like, everyone, we want everyone to see this. And it's truly, I think this is the show that I'm the most proud of so far that we've done. And I do see how much we've grown with each production. So yeah, just anyone who wants to come is more than welcome. We will be so, so happy.
We love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking all of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Victoria, may I start with you on that, please?
Yeah, so for me, like, it really inspired me a lot of, like, a film and also music. Like, for movies, I really love Sorrentino, you know? I love Sorrentino, I love Greta Gerwig, like when he was more on the indie side, like with Lady Bird. And I actually love the movie because I think it's a movie that you can pretty relate, it's relatable with young people, like teenager, young people that they're finding themselves. And then also like for aesthetic, I think Coppola, Sofia Coppola, like it's one of my favorite, yeah. And but for me also like inspire me a lot of music. So for now I'm listening a lot of Italian music. So like artists that you probably don't know, but they're actually like great. I love an artist called Gazzelle. Then I think with music, it's great for your, I think for your feelings. Like you're gonna also like, I always imagine with the song, like a music video or like a scene from a movie there, it makes you think and like, oh my God, like this is so creative. Also, like I love walking on like a street, like with no destination, just like walking, listening to music. And I love how these images that just they create in my brain. And it's crazy how I walk, but there's no one around me. It's just me, my music, and my thoughts, and these like pictures. So I think music, yeah, helped me a lot.
I love that answer. That's a beautiful list. Ananya, what about you? Who inspires you?
Oh my God, like everything around me, I think inspires me at this moment. I think, like I was thinking the other day, like with this generation, with this time, also after COVID, you know, people are just creating and creating, and everywhere you see, it's very inspiring for me. Of course, I'm from India, so I have a lot of idol directors that I love. But also, like I've realized that the people who inspire me the most are the people around me, literally, you know, like Sandra inspires me on some days, or Victoria just did, you know, made a short film and it screened at the Big Apple Film Festival. And I was so inspired by her, you know, and I just wanted to mention that for me, it's really important that the people around me and the people I associate with are doing great things and I can just be a part of their journey. But I love Christopher Nolan. So that's one who really inspires me. I think I started my journey in art or like looking up movies and stuff from Inception. Like I watched Inception and I went crazy. And then I was all over the place everywhere in the world. But when it comes to music, I listen to a lot of different kind of music. I'm a big K-pop fan. I don't know what people like, or, you know, they are like, yo, K-pop. But I think it's really cool if you listen to the lyrics. And I like lyrics that mean something. And like Victoria said, walking with the music. And in New York is like you're in a music video. So that really is a very therapeutic experience in general. But yeah.
That is a fabulous, fabulous list as well. I love that. Sandra, tell us, what or who inspires you?
I think what inspires me is humanity going beyond itself. You know, like, I don't know, like right now when Victoria started mentioning music, immediately I went to like, okay, music, who inspires me? And right now I'm still obsessed with Billie Eilish's new album. Jesus Christ, who is she? Who does she think she is? Like, it was just, I just, like, for me, I feel like I'm listening a human being exploring and playing around and just like not being afraid. And I feel like whenever I see a performer that gives me that feeling that they are not afraid, that is just like all of it, like all their eggs in one basket, and it works, and it's so like raw and real. It's just like, it's so thrilling to me. So yeah, I think I like artists that are not afraid to explore, like music. I'm also thinking about like Dominic Fike, Tyler, the Creator. Like they're unique in their own way, and they're always doing something that to me sounds different, which is also exciting. I really like this playwright called Duncan Macmillan. He's probably one of my favorite playwrights. And just the way he writes, it's also like very unique, but very human. So like, it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm one of the persons that if I start reading a play, I cannot stop until I finish it. Very different from a book. Like if I pick up a book, I can be like, okay, I'm done. Okay, we'll keep going later. But with a play, it's always just like, I have to keep going. And especially his plays are beautiful, are like so, so beautiful. Actors, I am Cate Blanchett's biggest fan, Viola Davis's, Christoph Waltz. Just like, yeah, I love seeing raw humanity in any art expression. It's very, very exciting.
I love that list as well. All of you, some great inspirations. And yes, they're all over the map, but that makes it even better. I love it. We've now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And of course, that is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I feel for me, it has been working with this production company. Like from the day Connor and I talked about creating something, and then just gathering some friends and being like, hey, we have an idea. And they just like jumping on board with us, trusting us when like we were just two actors that were not working, that wanted to do things. And I feel like, yeah, it's been a couple of crazy years of just people somehow trusting us, wanting to work with us and allowing us to be here and keep creating. And it's, yeah, I truly feel very, very grateful and lucky to be surrounded by these people and for them to be fearless in their own way and just like throwing themselves out there with us. So I feel like every production we've had, it's just like so close to my heart that I would consider this production's like my favorite theater experiences so far.
That is beautiful. What a great memory. What a great thought. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So for me, I think I have two memories. One, actually, when I was, I think, 16 or something like this. And it was the first time that I went on stage. And it was really cool. I was acting at that time, but that it was also the starting point that put me in the director's point of view, because like I loved acting because I loved the character studies, how to put this character on stage, but at the same time like make me realize that, oh, but like also like the director point of view, like it's so interesting. So like from that moment, like, oh, I might switch to like directing. And so this was like one of my favorite memory because it made me like switch and be who I am now. And second actually was of course the first time I went to the rehearsal for the first play with Dana, and it was really like crazy in a positive way. Like how like all our I felt pretty good, you know. And so, yeah, I think these two, they're my favorite one, and I hope to have more with these guys.
That is also so wonderful. Great memories. Thank you.
Of course.
Nanya, bring us home on this. What's your favorite theater memory?
So also, I have two, because Victoria mentioned two. I was like, okay, I'm going to tell you two. The one is, so I'm from India again. So there we do a lot of street theater. And so my grandmother used to be a healthcare worker. And where I live, we have a lot of small villages around our town. And what they do is to spread awareness about sanitation, hygiene, and blah, blah, blah. They would go to these towns and do street theater so that people would be intrigued to kind of come and watch and learn these sanitation techniques, or, you know, for women and for how they could go to the hospital and it's not, you know, it will be a safe place and they don't have to stay at home if they're not well, stuff like that. And I was really young at the time. And I remember just running in the middle of the the play while it was happening, because I was so happy that some girl, some young girl was dancing and I wanted to dance with her, but it was a show and they had to like pull me out. And that's, I think that was the first time I that's the first memory of like any kind of theater that I have. And so that was really interesting. And I don't think I've shared it with any of my friends ever. So it was, I just remembered it. And yeah, it was really cool. And the second one is when I directed my first play, which was Death Keeps His Score, which was also written by Connor Wilson, that played this past February in the Chain Theater. And I remember we were figuring out the lighting setup for how the lighting is going to look like on stage. And that's when I realized, wow, I'm actually directing this play and I'm deciding the lighting for it. And it was such a cool experience, like feeling in control of such an important part of the show that will kind of define how it's going to look like. And, you know, from there, it's just all these moments in theater, being with these people, have been really rewarding. And I really hope we can do more and more and keep going, because it's such a rewarding and heartwarming experience.
Those are fantastic. All of those memories and thoughts are so, so wonderful. Thank you all for sharing those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
I mean, well, actually, this play we're doing and the previous one we did, Death Keeps His Court, they're part of an anthology series that Connor wrote on Dead. Well, death, on death. So we are going to be, I couldn't tell you the exact dates yet because we're working on that. But the final, like, our main goal is to present this anthology series as a 1 hour, 30 minutes play that it's all about death and how humans navigate it and how we respond to it and how we're affected by it and like all of these nuances that come with it. So yeah, I think that for as company speaking wise, that's going to be our next project.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see this. I had no idea it was part of an anthology. It's exciting.
Yeah.
So like I'm the really first step. Like I'm just like doing some research because I would love to write and direct a feature movie. And about an Italian person who was famous. He was like a host of like different TV shows, and then he went to jail because he was too accused to work for like a mafia boss, but it wasn't true. So I would like to like do a movie with him, also like to explore how there are also sometimes fake on based on fake news can like destroy the reputation of someone. And this will happen to this guy. And he also he was a journalist. So I would also to explore the journalist environment. So like I think sometimes the journalists, they don't have they're too, sometimes too aggressive, I think. With some rare articles and personal life, they don't understand that these famous people, maybe like they're human beings. For them, they're just like a product to like writing about. So I would like to talk about his story, but it's a really like first step. Like I'm doing research, reading books and a book that someone has wrote and books that and like letters that he wrote from the jail for his family. So I'm working on this, but like I hope like one day you can see this project.
That sounds very cool. So we're going to have to keep an eye on the screen for you then. Ananya, anything for you?
Yeah, well, not anything new, but I kind of directed two movies that I'm hoping to finish post-production on and submit to film festivals and, you know, circulate around, because one of them is done. It's called It'll Be Okay. So I made it 2 years ago and it's finally, I think it's there. So I just finished the sound on that. And the second one I directed last year in 2023, June. And I think that one, I'm still, you know, trying to figure out the right music for it. It's like really important that it has the right kind of music that I want. And I hope I can get them out there in the world and show people what I've made. So yeah, that's me.
Incredible. So some fantastic projects that we need to keep our ears to the ground and eyes on the screen and whatnot for. And it leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about The King is Dead, Long Live the King, or about any of you, how can they do so?
So we have an Instagram page for our company, which is called the Group C Theater Company. You can find it on Instagram. The tickets are in the link. We did a photo shoot with all the cast and crew, which is really cool. You can watch them on that Instagram page. And of course, if you want to get the tickets, you can go to the newyorktheaterfestival.com. And our play is playing on June 12th at 4 p.m. and June 16th at 1 p.m. And if you scroll down, you can find our program, The King is Dead, Long Live the King, and buy tickets there. Or maybe follow us on our Instagrams. It's also in my bio on my Instagram, which is Instant Chai. And then if you guys want to say where else.
Yeah, we also have, apart from Instagram, we have TikTok, and it's also Group C Theater Company. Although you're going to find links for tickets in both profiles. And yeah, if you want to follow me, it's just SANROCHA_SANROCHA. And yeah, I'm also posting stuff from the company, projects of my own, and yeah.
Mine is a good V only.
Wonderful. Well, Ananya, Sandra, and Victoria, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this fantastic new piece. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to get myself over to the Hudson Theater Guild. The Hudson Guild Theater. Check this out. So thank you all so much. My guests have been three wonderful artists, Ananya, Dave, Sandra LaRocha, and Vittoria Giocomini, who are all part of the show, The King is Dead, Long Live the King. It's part of the New York Theater Festival. It's playing June 12th and 16th at the Hudson Guild Theater. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting newyorktheaterfestival.com. And that's theater with an ER. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But for right now, head over to newyorktheaterfestival.com, get your tickets, get out and support these wonderful artists, and check out this amazing piece, The King is Dead, Long Live the King, on June 12th and 16th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about your theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.